Returning in God's Word again to Exodus chapter 20, this portion that records for us God's holy law. Exodus chapter 20. As I've already said, we're thinking about the ninth commandment today, and the ninth commandment is contained in verse 16. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. Let's now ask for God's help. Pause for a moment and seek God's face as we come to his truth today. Our Father in heaven, we bless you for the privilege that is ours once again to come before the word of the living God. And we pray that thou would speak to us here today from thy truth. Lord, we think of how thy word has been given to us for our own profit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we pray, O God, that it will be received with much profit to our souls this day. O Lord, hide thy word in our hearts, that we may not sin against thee, even as we come face to face with the law. And Lord, it reminds us that we are sinners, guilty sinners who have broken God's law. We think even of how Paul spoke of the law being our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. And may this be our experience even today as we look into your law. May, Lord, we be brought again to Christ himself. And may our souls be strengthened and encouraged through him. Bless us now as we come to the preaching of thy truth. Give us help and wisdom. And Lord, may your hand be upon us for good. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ninth commandment is a commandment which brings into focus the whole subject of our words. It is a precept that directs us how we should and how we should not use the little member of our tongue. We read that portion of scripture earlier in James chapter 3, where James speaks of how the tongue is such a powerful force. And he describes how it can be an incredible force for good, but also an incredible force for evil. James says in verses 9 and 10 of James chapter 3, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Now see what God's servant is doing here. He's bringing before God's people how the tongue has tremendous potential for good, even to bless God. And there is the thought there of worshipping God. We use our tongues in worship. We use our tongues to sing God's praises. We use our tongues to call upon his name. We use our tongues to witness for him. And so the tongue has great potential good, because with it we praise God. With it we bless God. But then James goes on to say, the tongue also carries such potential to do evil, even to curse men. And the thought is to injure and to harm them with our words, to do them hurt with the words that we speak, to speak ill of them and to injure them with our tongue. Because the tongue then has such potential for good and evil, it is no surprise that God's word on many occasions brings into focus the things we say and the words that we use. Of course, the ninth commandment is not the only commandment that brings into focus the way we use our tongues. The third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain, also very much relates to the words that we use. We can say the third commandment teaches us how we should speak with God and of God. The ninth commandment teaches us how we should speak with our neighbour and how we should speak of our neighbour. And what we learn then in God's law is God is not only interested in how we communicate with him, but he's also interested in how we communicate with others, with our neighbour. God is concerned with these two great areas in our lives. Not only how we communicate with him, how we speak to him, how we use our tongue in relation to him, but also how we use our tongue in relation to our fellow men. God then has got much to say in regard to how we employ our tongues. Now as we come to the ninth commandment today, I want us to consider it in two ways. In the first place, I want us to think about what the ninth commandment denounces. And we will consider this today. And then, in the second way I want us to consider this commandment is what the ninth commandment demands. And God willing, we will consider this next time, what the ninth commandment demands. Today then, we're thinking about what this commandment, which relates to our words, denounces, what it condemns, what it forbids. And considering what is actually denounced by the ninth commandment, we need to give very careful consideration to the great sin that this precept in God's law brings before us. We need to give careful consideration to the sin that is condemned in this commandment. Of course, this is the way we need to approach all of the commandments, by considering carefully the sin that they condemn. And this is what the commandments bring into focus. They bring sin into focus. And they reveal to us the wickedness of sin, the vileness of sin, and how God hates sin. And so all of the commandments bring before us the great problem of sin. And we need to give careful consideration to what they say. However, let me give you a number of reasons why we need to particularly guard against falling into the sin which is brought before us in the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. In the first place, we need to guard against the sin spoken of in the ninth commandment because it's a widespread sin. It is a widespread sin. Lies and bearing false witness is a sinful disease that has affected every area and part of society. It is found very often in the home. Children will tell lies to their parents. A husband might tell lies to his wife, and a wife might tell lies to her husband. And this is what happens. It is a problem in the home. It's also a problem in the workplace. Employees lie to their boss, and the boss will lie to his employees. In business, very often people are found out lying and cheating with their words. Lies is also a great problem in politics. And in regard to those who rule over us. And we know this so well. It has become so common. It's almost become an acceptable thing. That those in positions of authority do not tell the truth. And we treat them with skepticism. We're very wary of them. Lies is also a serious problem in the church. It's a serious problem in the church. Today there will be men who will stand up and preach lies. And they will reject the truth of God's word and shun all that God has commanded them to say. And they will just preach lies. You see, lies is a widespread problem. It's everywhere. It is endemic in our society. This is a great issue for men. The problem of lies. Then we also need to guard against the sin, not only because it is widespread, but also because it's a wounding sin. Listen to the words of Proverbs 25 in the verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbour is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. And this is bringing before us the solemn truth that lying is a wounding sin. The word maul means hammer. The maul is a hammer. And so what Solomon is saying is, the person who bears false witness against his neighbour is like a hammer coming down on his head. He's like a sharp sword piercing his side, and he's like a sharp arrow in his heart. The solemn truth is, telling lies against our neighbour is one of the most wounding sins that we can commit. It is a sin that brings great injury, and it is a sin that brings great hurt upon our fellow man. We will consider a little of this later on. We then need to guard against breaking the ninth commandment, for the sin denounced here is a widespread one. It is a wounding one. But then we also need to guard against the sin because it is a wicked sin. It's a wicked sin. I know that all sin is wicked, and all sin is heinous in God's sight. We should never forget this. All sin is an abomination to God. However, as you read through the Word of God, you will discover that the telling of lies is set forth as both an abominable and a satanic sin. Proverbs 12:22 tells us, lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Lying lips are abomination. And that is really telling us it is disgusting, it is abhorrent to God. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Remember also what the Lord Jesus said of the devil in John 8:44. After speaking of how the devil was a murderer, Christ said of the devil, he abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What the Savior is saying here is Satan the devil is the father of lies. Therefore, all who habitually engage in lying are his children. This is what marks out a person to be a child of the devil. They've got lying lips. Those who engage in lying are off the father, their father, the devil, because he's the father of lies. Men might not consider telling lies to be a serious thing. In their foolish and ignorant minds, they may talk of little lies and white lies. This is very often what men speak of. Little lies and white lies. But God considers all lies to be a heinous sin. And we are told in Revelation 21 in the verse 8, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. These are very solemn words. All liars. Those who engage in lies will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. How careful we then need to be in regard to the sin that is denounced in the ninth commandment. For it is a widespread sin. It is a wounding sin. And it's also a wicked sin. It will bring the wrath and judgment of God upon the heads of those who are guilty. What then does this most serious and solemn commandment denounce? What does it denounce? Remember, this is the subject today. What the ninth commandment denounces. Well, it denounces or condemns every aspect of bearing false witness. But notice with me three particular things which the ninth commandment denounces. Three particular things it denounces. In the first place, we can say the ninth commandment denounces the sin of lying. The sin of lying. This is something which is unmistakably clear as we are confronted with the words of this commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This commandment forbids the telling of lies and that which is false. However, as we think about the sin of telling lies, we should consider two things about lying. Two things about lying. In the first place, we must give some consideration to the act of lying. The act of lying itself. What is it to tell lies? What is a person actually doing when they use lying words? This might seem a very simple question to ask, a very obvious thing to say today. You maybe would say, well listen, even a child knows what a lie is. And a child knows, a very young child, understands when it's told lies to its parents. Yet we must be clear in our minds as to the nature of the sin of lying. What is it then to tell lies? What is involved in a lie? Well, very simply, telling lies is to speak that which is untrue, and it is to deceive others by our words. It is to deceive others by our words, speaking that which is untrue. And that could be either the spoken word, when we verbally speak to someone, or it could be the written word, when we give information that is not true, perhaps filling in a form. You get a form and you fill it in, and you're not accurate with the details that are on that form. You knowingly give false information. Well, in God's sight, that is to deceive. That is to break the ninth commandment. That is to bear false witness. It is to tell lies. And this is what is involved in the sin of lying. Using words to deceive others. Now God, in his word, repeatedly tells us we are not to deceive others with our words. Instead, we are to speak the truth to them. Zechariah 8, 16 and 17 says, these are the things that ye shall do. Remember those words, these are the things that ye shall do. God was speaking to his people here. These are the things you shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your heart against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And see what the Lord was saying to his people there? Tell the truth. Don't be involved in anything that is deceptive. For I hate these things. These are the things that my soul hateth. The Lord was making it clear to his people that they were to always live and work in regard to the truth. The Apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Ephesus, says in Ephesians 4:25, wherever putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And there's the two sides, you see. It's not only a matter of putting away lies, but it's speaking the truth. In other words, there's no deception in your words. There's no grey area. There's no shady area. We're to put away lies and speak the truth. And this is how we're to behave as Christians. And again, God's people are told in Colossians 3 and 9, lie not one to another. God requires of men and women that they speak the truth. Therefore, anything less than speaking the truth, anything less than speaking the truth is to tell lies. It is to deceive. And it is to break the ninth commandment. And we must be so conscious of this. Anything less than the declaration of the truth is to tell lies. This includes exaggeration. Very often we can fall into exaggeration. And exaggeration leads to lies. It also includes spinning the truth. How often do we hear people today in positions of authority and they're described as spin doctors? They're liars. They're not declaring the truth as it is. They're spinning it, putting it in a different color or in a different way to try and deceive. Half-truths are playing with the truth. All of this is for one purpose. It is to deceive. And you see, when people seek to deceive others with words, it is to break the ninth commandment. It is to lie. And so anything less than speaking the truth is to lie. Now, having said all that I have just said, there are some occasions in God's word where deceiving and misleading other people is not considered to be a sin. There are occasions in God's word where deceiving and misleading other people is not considered to be a sin. And we need to consider these things because very often these things are thrown up. They've been thrown up to me in the past. For example, we could think of the Egyptian midwives who refused to kill the Hebrew male babies and misled Pharaoh as to the reason why they had disobeyed his command. Remember what Pharaoh had said there to the Egyptian midwives? He told them, he gave them the command, when any of the Hebrew women are given birth and it's a male child, then kill the male child. Do away with that child. And this was his orders to them. But the Bible tells us the midwives feared God and they saved the children. They saved the children. They preserved their lives. But when Pharaoh came in and Pharaoh asked the midwives, why are you not killing these children? Well, they didn't tell him the truth, the whole truth. They said, well, the Hebrew midwives, they usually have given birth by the time we get there. They're usually very quick in giving birth, and so by the time we get there, the children are born and we don't really get an opportunity. And there was a deception here because the Bible tells us they actually saved the babies themselves. These ladies deceived Pharaoh. That is clear. However, we read after this that God blessed these midwives. He blessed them because of what they did. And so their deception, their deceiving Pharaoh, was not a sin. Because sin doesn't bring the blessing of God, it brings the curse of God. Therefore, even though these women deceived and misled Pharaoh, yet they did not sin. And there are a number of other such incidents in Scripture. We read also of Rahab. And also the time that David was on the run from Absalom. There was also a deception there, and we read about it in 2 Samuel 17. Now there are people who point to these incidents and excuse their lying. And this is what they will do. They will point to these incidents in Scripture and they will say, listen, here was a lie, here was someone who didn't tell the truth and it was okay, so my lying's not that serious. The question then for us is this. When is it okay to deceive others? When is it not a sin to mislead others? And as we examine the ninth commandment, we need to examine this. Because these things are in Scripture, so we might know and understand. Well, the answer to this is found in Christ's summary of the law. Remember how Christ summarized God's law? Turn over with me to the New Testament just for a moment. I'll read these words in Matthew 22. It's good to remind ourselves how the Lord Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments, summarized the whole of the law. Matthew 22. In the verse 37, notice what it says here. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And there we have the summary of the first table of the law. To love the Lord our God. Verse 38, or verse 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so the second table of the law, Christ summarized it in these words, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The second table of the law is summarized by loving our neighbor. Now if we apply this to the Egyptian midwives, and this is what we must do. If we apply this to the Egyptian midwives who deceived Pharaoh. Think of this here in regard to the Egyptian midwives and how they showed love to these babies. How did they show love to these babies? By deceiving the one who was trying to kill them. You see, they weren't breaking the law. They were fulfilling the law. The babies that Pharaoh wanted to kill before the law were the neighbors of the midwives, we could say. And so to love these babies and to deliver them from evil and the wickedness of Pharaoh, the midwives deceived the wicked man. They deceived Pharaoh. You see, the rule, the biblical rule is this. It is not a sin to deceive wicked men if that is for the well-being of our neighbor. It is not a sin to deceive wicked men, evil men, who would do injury and harm to others if that is for the well-being of our neighbor. And that principle runs through Scripture. And it includes war times. Think of in war times when the enemy is coming and threatening the nation, threatening the lives of people. To deceive the enemy in such terms is not to sin. It is the thing that is right. It is showing love to your neighbor and preserving life. Again, the same is true in regard to criminal behavior. Someone broke into your home and was threatening your children and wanted to know where they were. Well, the right thing would be to deceive them. Not to just say, listen, they're over there, go and do what you like. That would be wrong. That would not be to love your children, your neighbor. And see, this is the principle here. This is the principle the Scripture brings before us in regard to deceiving wicked men. However, we should be very mindful. These are unusual and unique circumstances. And when people throw these things up, they were throwing up that which is unusual and unique. In the ordinary business of life, in the day-to-day events of life, we are not to deceive with our words, but we are to speak the truth with our neighbor. And anything less than this is to break the ninth commandment. It is to tell lies. And so there is the act of lying here. But then as we think about lying, we must also consider the effect of lying. One of the great problems and dangers of telling lies is this. It is a sin that never stands alone. Telling lies is a sin that never stands alone. Lying is always accompanied with more and more sin. And it brings us deeper and deeper into sin. Think, for example, of Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. After Naaman the leper was cured of his leprosy, he wanted to give Elisha a gift. He was very thankful for what had happened. He was cured of his leprosy. And so he came up to Elisha's home and he came with a present, lovely clothes, garments, and some money. And he wanted to give these things to Elisha, but Elisha refused him because Elisha knew that it was God who would have the glory. It was God who had healed Naaman. And so he refused him. However, Gehazi wanted these attractive things. And so he lied to Naaman. First of all, he coveted these things, which is breaking the 10th commandment. But then he went after Naaman. And he told lies. He said, some of the sons of the prophets, two of the sons of the prophets have come, and we now need these things. Could I have them? And so he told lies. And then he also stole, because he took these things that didn't belong to him in a false way. And so there was a theft here as well. And then he came back to Elisha. And Elisha asked him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no hither. And so again he lied. And you see, when he turned onto this road, when he started out on this path, it was a slippery slope, deeper and deeper down into the filthy mire of sin. This is one of the reasons why Paul exhorts God's people. Wherefore, putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. This is a sin that will lead you into more sin. A terrible sin. That leads you deeper and deeper into sin. And before you know it, you're up to your neck in sin. See it with Gehazi. How important it is that we stick to the truth. And that we speak every man truth with his neighbor. And so the ninth commandment denounces the sin of lying. But then moving on quickly, in the second place, the ninth commandment also denounces the sin of slander. Not only the sin of lying, but the sin of slander. To slander is to damage someone's reputation by saying or repeating things about them which are not true. And this is what slander is. Damaging someone's reputation by saying or repeating things about them which are not true. The Puritan Thomas Watson said, "The scorpion carries his poison in his tail. The slanderer carries his poison in his tongue." And that is the nature of the slander. His tongue is poisonous. He carries a poison, a deadly poison in his tongue. We should be very mindful that God's word condemns the sin of slander in the strongest possible terms. In Psalm 101 and verse 5, God says, "Whosoever privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off." And there's that sense of being cut off from God and under God's judgment. Slander is under God's judgment. In Proverbs 10 and 18, we are told, "He that uttereth a slander is a fool." A fool. Another way the slander is described in God's word is as the backbiter. You read about the backbiter in Scripture. Paul speaks about the backbiter in Romans 1. And he describes backbiting as one of those sins that flows out from a depraved heart and a wicked mind. And again, this is another feature of an unbeliever. Someone who is engaged in continual slander is really marking themselves out as the children of the devil. They really say, "I have a heart that is depraved and a mind that is in darkness, and I'm not a child of God." That's what they're doing. One of the wickedest cases of slander that we meet with in God's word was that time Jezebel instigated the murder of godly Naboth. Naboth would not sell his vineyard to Ahab. And so Jezebel, Ahab's wicked wife, with the wicked elders in Jezreel, invented a false and wicked story about Naboth. They invented this story. They then arrested Naboth, put him on trial, during which they brought in false witnesses. And these false witnesses pointed the finger at Naboth, saying, "Thou dost blaspheme God and the king." This is what they did. This good man, this godly man, this righteous man. They arrested him, they put him on trial. And then they assassinated, first of all, his reputation. This was all to destroy Naboth and to ruin his testimony. It was the worst of slander. And how sore an injury it must have been for this good and godly man to die in this wicked way. To die with these evil slanders hanging over him. He blasphemed God. What a terrible way to die. Of course, there's coming a day when God will vindicate Naboth. And when God will put right all slander. But we should be mindful of this. As we live in this world, perhaps people would slander you. Slander your name. Say things about you which aren't true. Say things about you which would hinder your reputation. Remember what happened to Christ when he was reviled? He reviled not again. And this is how we are to respond to slander, especially as he suffered it for Christ, knowing that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. It's come one day when all slander against the people of God will be put right. As God's people then, we need to be so careful we do not engage in this wicked sin of slandering others. If the thing which we say, or if the story we repeat damages and harms another's reputation, then at the very least, we need to be 100% sure that what we are speaking is the truth. Now, I'm not saying because it is the truth, you should speak ill of others, and we'll come to that in just a moment. But what I am saying is to speak ill of others when you don't even know if it is the truth. Is to break the ninth commandment in one of the wickedest ways. To speak ill of others when you don't even know if it is the truth is to transgress this very serious commandment, it is to slander your neighbor. And it is to behave like the devil, who is called the accuser of the brethren. The worst slanderer of all is the devil. Remember what the devil did in the Garden of Eden. He came into the Garden of Eden, and as he spoke to Eve, he slandered God, and he slandered God's testimony. As Eve told him if she ate the forbidden fruit, she would die. He said this, "Ye shall not surely die, for God does know that if ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And you see, what was the devil doing? He was slandering God's good name. He was saying to Eve, "Listen, God's deceiving you. God's a deceiver." He was slandering her. He's the worst slanderer of all. Therefore, when we engage in slander, slandering other people, we behave just like the devil. Behave like Satan himself. The exhortation which James gives in James 4:11 is, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." Speak not evil one of another, brethren. This is what James wrote to his brethren, to God's people, because this is what they needed to hear. They needed to be wary of this sin of speaking evil of others. They needed to be aware, cautious, of the sin of slander. This too is what we need to hear, because we can so easily fall into the filthy pit of slandering others. So easily, so quickly. Perhaps it is the case today that we all need to examine our hearts. And examine our hearts in the light of God's word. Are we guilty of breaking the ninth commandment by slandering others? Damaging their reputation? By using words against them? Is this something that we have done with others, perhaps even in God's house? Others in the community? Remember, the very thoughts of our mind, the Lord knows afar off. If you said something against your brother or your sister, to hurt or injure them in a slanderous way, if this is the case, we need to repent and seek God's forgiveness and cleansing. This is what we need to do. And this is what Christ clearly taught as he preached in the Sermon on the Mount. He said in Matthew 5:23-24, "Therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee," and that is, if you remember that you have sinned against your brother in any way, and your brother can accuse you of anything. And there is the thought here of worship. If you come to the place of worship, and you remember that you have done something against your brother, perhaps said something about your brother or sister, some sin, some evil, the Lord says this, "Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Let us be honest today before God's holy law, especially in regard to these things. When it comes to the sins of our tongue, which one of us can say, "And I speak to myself"? Which one of us can truly say, "I am without sin"? Without thinking, we have said things about other people that would definitely fall into the realm of slander. The ninth commandment then denounces the sin, not only of lying, but also of slander. In the last place, consider with me also here that the ninth commandment denounces the sin of tale-bearing. Leviticus 19:16 says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a tale-bearer among thy people." Thou shalt not go up and down as a tale-bearer among thy people. Now, tale-bearing or gossiping, because that's what tale-bearing is, think of how it speaks in Leviticus, going up and down. It's the thought of someone going from one house to the next house, to the next house, and to the next house, and just tale-bearing, telling stories. Tale-bearing, or the gossip, or gossiping, is different from lying and slander, in that the things which the tale-bearer goes about spreading may not be untrue. The things that the tale-bearer goes about spreading may not be untrue. Of course, very often the stories which the tale-bearer carries are not an accurate representation of the truth. And very often the gospel, the talebearer, is really not interested in the truth, just a good tall story. And the bigger the story, the more sensational the story, then the more it needs to be spread as far as they're concerned. However, even when the gossip goes about spreading unkind and unwholesome stories, which are in themselves not lies, they are still guilty of breaking the ninth commandment. Now, I want you to understand this today. Even when you spread stories by gossiping and talebearing, which are not in themselves lies, it's still a transgression of the ninth commandment. This is something that we learn as the ninth commandment is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. You see, the word false here in Exodus 20 in the verse 16 is the Hebrew word shekher, shekher. And it literally means untrue. The word shekher means untrue. And so we could read the ninth commandment as it is brought before us in Exodus 20 in the verse 16. Thou shalt not bear untruth or untrue witness against thy neighbor. And that is the focus here in Exodus 20 verse 16, the truth. Not to bear untruth against thy neighbor. But now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5 in the verse 20 for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and the verse 20. Notice what it says here. You have the commandments repeated again in this chapter, in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But in verse 20, we have the ninth commandment. And virtually the same words. Notice what it says here. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and the verse 20. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, although the words appear to be the same here, there is a slight difference. For the word false on this occasion is the Hebrew word shavah. Or shav, shav. It's not shekir, it's shav. And it does not just mean untruth, but it also means empty and vain. Different Hebrew word. The word false in our English Bible is translated out of two different Hebrew words. The first time in Exodus 20, verse 16, it is shekir, which means untrue. But here in Deuteronomy 5, in the verse 20, it's the word shav, which really means empty or vain. And so the thought is that we are not to bear empty or vain witness against our neighbor. And that is the sense here of God's word in Deuteronomy 5 verse 20. We are not to bear empty or vain witness against our neighbor. Now that's talebearing. That is exactly what gossip is. It is spreading, the spreading of unkind and unwholesome stories and news about our neighbor. It's talebearing. And God says we're not to go up and down as talebearers. It is to break the ninth commandment. Gossiping. Spreading unkind and unprofitable stories about others. Now, although talebearing or gossiping does differ from lying and slander in the end, it is very like it, but it causes much hurt. It does a great deal of harm. And this is something the book of Proverbs brings before us. Proverbs 26 and the verse 22 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the uttermost parts of the belly. There are wounds. In other words, they hurt. And they badly hurt. And as believers, as a church of Christ, we're not to do these things, you see. This is what God's holy law denounces. In Proverbs 26 and the verse 20 we read, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. See what the talebearer does? Produces strife. Very often in God's work, when there is trouble within a church, when there is strife and unhappiness, you can trace it back to a talebearer. Trace it right back to the talebearer. The one going about repeating and gossiping old stories that are not for profit or for good. Again, how easy it is to fall into this sin. how easy it is to fall into the sin. We need to be so careful. And again, I examine my own heart today in the light of Scripture. It's so easy to hear something and just pass it on. Behave like a talebearer. As we then think of what is denounced in the ninth commandment, we need to pray like David. We really need to pray like David. He prayed in Psalm 141 in the verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. We can't do it ourselves, you see. We cannot keep ourselves in regard to speaking. This is why every single day we need to get before God. Before we go out in the morning into this world, we need to say, Lord, put a door upon my mouth and keep my lips. David also prayed in Psalm 19 in the verse 14. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Not only that God would guard his mouth from doing that which is wrong, but would enable his mouth to do that which is pleasing in God's sight. This was how David prayed. And this is how we need to pray in regard to our tongue. May this be the case with each one of us. May we use our tongues wisely to the glory of God and to the benefit of our neighbor, ever remembering, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. May God be pleased to bless his truth to our hearts today for his own name's sake. Amen.